Good evening, folks, and welcome to episode number 22 of Tom Harris USA. This is the second time I've started the show. I've been having a technical problem, and I think it's related to the changes that I've made in the settings on my recording software. Because I was alerted to the fact some time ago that on my early shows, my file sizes were absolutely enormous. So I made some changes in the settings to try to get the show to maintain the quality of sound while at the same time being half the size of the other files. Now, the music files I'm going to continue to record in high quality stereo because I think the music deserves that. But the vocal quality has gone from being in high quality stereo to a lower quality mono. And now I'm finding that I think I set the quality a little bit too low. I've gone back and listened to some of the shows that I've done since I made the change, and I'm noticing some skipping, words being cut in half, and that sort of thing. So hopefully that's fixed now, and I won't have that problem in the future. So now I've gone from having a somewhat medium quality mono vocal track to having a high quality mono vocal track, and hopefully that'll work. So I need to start the show off by issuing something of an apology and a partial retraction. Partial retraction because I don't think I really said what this person said I said, but I had a message on Facebook the other day, and it was a response to episode number 13, and it was from a friend of mine in Southwest Florida by the name of Rich Castelli, and Rich had this to say. Just listened to episode 13, liked it. But no art of culture coming out of Fort Myers? You bastard! I'm not dead yet, though this tooth is giving me some grief. So, what I didn't say, Richard, I didn't say that there was no art or culture coming out of Fort Myers. Really, I didn't. What I said was that Fort Myers is sort of an artistic backwater. And I'm going to stick by that, but I do want to apologize somewhat to you because I know that there are musicians and artists and sculptors and people of that nature doing very good work there. Southwest Florida is not exactly known for having a strong arts community, though I do gather that it's getting better. And Richard is actually a very, very fine singer-songwriter, and he's somebody who I've worked with before back in the early 80s. I organized a series of peace concerts that took place in Four Freedoms Park in Cape Coral. And Richard was involved very heavily in those projects. I think we had four or five of these concerts, and Richard was involved with all of them and was always there and always put on a great show. I really like a lot of Richard's music. Now, Richard has a singular honor in my book. And that is that Richard has written one of my favorite songs ever. And I don't say that lightly, because I'm a fan of a lot of the greats, but one of my favorite rock and roll songs ever. And it's one that is not currently in his repertoire. And it's one that I think I'm hoping that Richard will go back and revisit the song and re-record it, maybe update it or something, and start using it again. Start recording it again. Well, how many times is he going to record it? Start performing it again, is what I mean to say. And the song is called Just Another Hangman. And it's just this wonderful, bleak, haunting ballad. Always loved it. And the first time I heard it was on a demo that Richard lent me, which had demos of all the current stuff that he was working on at that time. And I think at that point he was recording in a four-track in his living room or his bedroom. And I'd really enjoyed all of the songs on that tape. But I did eventually have to give the tape back to him, and he had made me promise that I wouldn't make a copy of it. So I reluctantly gave the tape back, but this song is one that I listened to over and over again and got to know it. I've since forgotten parts of it, but it still is one that has stuck with me for all these years. I'm going to go ahead and give you the MySpace page for Richard's current project. Now, Richard is part of a group called Poor Richard and the Almanacs, and you can find it by going to MySpace, www.myspace.com/ Poor Richard the Band, and that's all one word. They have four songs posted on their MySpace page currently. The most recent one of those is called I Cannot Fly, and that's my favorite of the four. Though they have had other songs up there that I've also liked very, very much. And I would love maybe to use some of them on the show. Richard, you know, if it's okay for me to play your songs on the show, let me know. And maybe I'll actually play out one of your songs in its entirety on the show. I think that it would be a nice little, you know, bit of publicity. Now, one of the things about Richard is that, you know, he's a very talented songwriter and has been recording for a long time. But I think the reason why he's never become, you know, a big, huge commercial success is because he's in Fort Myers, Florida. That doesn't speak poorly of Richard or his abilities or anything like that, but it does sort of speak poorly for the fact that he's in this part of the country that doesn't offer a lot of opportunity. And maybe fame is not what Richard's looking for. I mean, I don't really know. But I just thought I would bring that up. And so Richard, yes, there is culture and art coming out of Fort Myers. I would definitely see a dentist about that tooth, though. And I certainly don't envy you that experience, because I absolutely despise dentists. And one of these days I will do my dentist rant on the show. But you can, you don't need to look forward to that today, because I have other things that I need to cover. And I'm almost a third of the way through the show. So, here we go. I had some other feedback this week, and I'm going to go ahead and read that. First, I want to give a shout out to Lisa in Australia. Now, Lisa left a comment on Facebook about one of the episodes, and then inexplicably deleted it. So now I can't read it out on the air. I seem to recall she said something nice about my voice. But Lisa, thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. I always like having new listeners and new people listening to the show. I hope you enjoy it. You know, feel free to chime in at any time. And that's really kind of true for everybody. It's kind of an interesting story about Lisa, because she's really kind of a total stranger. I don't really know her. But it just so happens that Lisa has the same name as a girl I went to elementary school with. And I know I've talked about how in April we had our 35th elementary school reunion in Cleveland, and how Pete and I went to Ohio. I think that was way, 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 way back in episode number 3, probably. And this woman in Australia is, you know, she happens to have the same name as a classmate of ours. And one of the other members of our class was looking around Facebook for our Lisa, and discovered this Lisa living in Australia. And I guess everybody just kind of thought it was her. And she, you know, was invited her into the group organizing the reunion and all this rigmarole. And it turns out that she is not the same person. She's about 10 years younger than us. And it was pretty amusing. But actually, you know, the various Facebook games and things that you have going on, Lisa is one of the people who plays. So I see no reason to delete her off my Facebook friends, because, you know, I end up making comments on her posts and she makes comments on mine. It's great. So thank you, Lisa, and hopefully you can join our Facebook community. And if you, the listener, happen to be on Facebook and you're not one of my Facebook friends, feel free to join the Tom Harris USA podcast community. You can even make comments on that community. Not very many people are on there right now, so if you're listening to the show, you should be in that community. And feel free to comment on any show. I always post a new message board topic every time I post a show, just in case somebody would like to comment there. It seems like I'm getting more comments, actually, in my main Facebook page from people who I know in real life. But, you know, that's okay. I like comments no matter where they come in. Speaking of comments, You can comment to the show by writing to me at tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can email harrispodcast@gmail.com. Oh, that reminds me. Yes, big change to the website. Now, people may remember I was kind of looking for somebody to design a website for the show, and I've kind of stopped now. And the reason why is because I found out that there had been a problem with the domain forwarding feature of my web host for TomHarrisUSA.com. So that has now been fixed. It was something that I set up a long time ago when I first set up the domain, and that's probably been a month ago now. This story just goes to show how clueless I am when it comes to the internet, the technicalities of it. As far as finding web pages and doing web searches and stuff like that, I can match the best of them. But as far as actually building a site, it's a little bit different. But what happened was I filled out all the forms properly and set up domain forwarding so that when you go to www.tomharrisusa.com, it should actually bring up the main site for the show. And the show is being hosted on Podbean, and it's, you know, harrispodcast.podbean.com, which is kind of long and a little bit more difficult to remember. Well, I'm very, very pleased to say I finally got fed up and thought, my God, I was doing something wrong, and I finally broke down, and I called technical support at my domain provider and asked them, why doesn't this work? And they went and looked, and they said, well, it looks like it's been set up properly. So let us look into it, and we'll send you an email. And I got an email about 2 hours later, and they said, we found the problem. It was an internal issue, had nothing to do with the way you did it. You did everything right. Your forwarding now works. So even though you can still get there by going to harrispodcast.podbean.com, I'm going to stop giving that out as the address for the show. So you can go to www.tomharrisusa.com. And it's exactly the same page, and you can listen there and comment there, etc., etc. So that was a big event this week, getting that actually working again. How long has it been? You know, it's, what, 3 months that I've been doing the show, and just now I've gotten the point where the website is working? Well, that just goes to show. Okay, moving forward, I have another comment. This one is from Liz in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Liz. Liz commented previously on episode 7, I believe it was. Liz had this to say about our tarot episode. Listen to most of it. Had to get my laundry in the dryer. Maybe we'll catch what I missed later. Liz. Listen. It's a podcast. You download it to your computer. And then when you go to get the laundry out of the dryer, you push the pause button. Okay. Listen to some of the prior podcasts, too. Well, thank you very much. I do like when people listen to the show. It's an interesting point about tarot and the human capacity to interpret through a personal filter. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. That, yes, very well spotted, Liz. I do appreciate that somebody actually gets what I was saying. Ramifications for other more widely believed things is not missed here either. Why, whatever do you mean? Ha ha ha, he said knowingly. This is a human capacity and one that helps us to survive trauma, wonder, and other heady events. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You hit the nail right smack on the head. This is something that is done frequently. Everyone does it to some extent. And the interpretation of things, and especially things involving phenomena that you don't really understand. I've seen this in the church back during the time when I was a Christian, where you know, you get a sense of closeness with other people, these other like-minded people, and fellowship with each other. And it's, they actually, rather than saying, oh, you know, this is nice being with you people and doing this, they call it the Lord's presence. It has absolutely nothing to do with any kind of supernatural thing. It's almost exactly the same thing. So very well spotted, Liz. You get a cookie for that. If I ever see you sometime in the near future, I will be sure to deliver that cookie to you. What else is going on? Oh, well, remember a few shows ago? Actually, it's probably been quite a while now. I was talking about comic book movies, or movies made from comic books and graphic novels. And I mentioned that I had not yet seen the Fantastic Four 2. I did see the first one and didn't much care for it. I thought it was very poorly done. It was kind of hokey, badly written, badly acted, etc. Well, I am very pleased to say that I did see Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Now, it was awful. I mean that sincerely. It was not a good movie. But it was better than the first one, because the characters had already been established. So the scenario was set. Now, there were a couple of good things about it. And one of those things was they stayed very true to the Galactus trilogy storyline. And they could do that, because really they had already established, you know, the four main characters, Doctor Doom. And so they introduced the Silver Surfer. It was done in a very natural way. It wasn't exactly true to the comic, but there were enough strong similarities that I could say, okay, the idea at least is very true to the original source material. Fanboys love that. They did a few things that I thought were pretty cool. And most of that had to do with the way the Surfer was portrayed. He was a CG character, and he was voiced by Cowboy Curtis. Oh, sorry, Lawrence Fishburne. And it was they did a good job. The computer animation was not seamless, and it wasn't completely natural looking, but that worked for that character. So I don't really have a strong complaint about that, I guess, but it was better than the first one. So if you have a chance and you don't want to spend any money on this, you know, if you belong to Netflix or something where you get free rentals, or you get X number of free rentals a month or whatever, go in and get it and have a look. It's not a good movie. It's still not very well. I think that part of the problem is it's badly cast. But the other problem I think I have with the Fantastic Four franchise is it's just hard to do. These aren't easy characters to portray in a live-action film, because they are visually distinct. They do the Human Torch very well, and they do the Invisible Woman effects very well. But the Reed Richards stretching effects were not very good, and the Thing doesn't look very good, I don't think. But they try, you know, they do give it a go. It's hard to do those characters, and I'll grant that. I much preferred Iron Man or the Spider-Man films. Anyway, moving on. I have been corresponding recently a little bit with Joe Morris at American Talk USA, and I just kind of wanted to talk about, just for a few minutes, some of the things that we've been discussing. Now, I'm not going to go and read his emails to me, because they're marked as personal, and I respect that, and I'm not going to, you know, read out what he wrote. But it kind of started because I wrote to Joe's show, because he was talking about hiking boots, and it's something that I've had, you know, a little bit of experience with. I mean, I like to hike and all that. And I kind of reached out because Joe is somebody who has mutual friends with me. And I had not been very communicative with him. I'd listened to his show a few times and you know, enjoyed what I'd heard. But it wasn't one of the shows that I was listening to regularly. Well, now I am. Now I am listening regularly. But at that point, it wasn't. And Joe seemed a little surprised that I would write to him. And I talked about this in the last show, that he didn't know why I would write to him. Because he, in his words, we were polar opposites. Well, you know, I really don't agree that we're polar opposites. Now, as many of you know, Joe is an evangelical Christian and missionary. He goes to Peru and does medical missionary works. So you know right from the start that he and I are coming at life from a very, very different perspective. But I tend to think that we're not really polar opposites. And the reason why is that I think that, that Joe and I actually have a lot more in common than we have separating us. We're about the same age, same rough demographic. I think we're both sort of middle class, Caucasian American people. He lives in Appalachia, which is a place that I've also lived, though I really kind of lived in a more academic environment in Athens. But I saw enough of the surrounding area, which is to say the West Virginia, Southeast Ohio, Kentucky sort of area, that I kind of know the culture. I know also I have friends, my friend Nathan is one of them, who is actually from that area. So I have some idea of what it's like. And the notion of being polar opposites is kind of interesting, because I think the main difference between Joe and I is that he believes in supernatural things. He's an evangelical Christian, believes in Jesus as the risen Savior. Obviously, that's why he's a Christian. I'm an atheist who regards the Bible as folkloric in nature, and Jesus, as he appears in the Bible, as primarily a fictional character. Now, whether or not that fictional character is based on a real person who was non-supernatural, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. It certainly is a possibility. But I think that that difference, being a rationalist versus being a religionist, is not the big thing. It's not a big, huge difference that a lot of people agree it is. And it's amazing to think that, you know, wars have been started over this. And maybe it's just this, and I was thinking about this at work today, that when you belong to a religion, when you belong to a faith and you have very strong beliefs, you get upset when those beliefs are challenged. Not necessarily because you feel threatened in your beliefs, but because the religion actually plays up this notion that you shouldn't hang out with people who were not in your belief system. That there is definitely a notion in evangelical Christianity, because it's something that I encountered when I was a born-again Christian back in the 70s and 80s, where they don't want you to hang out with this person or this person or this person, because they might draw you away from being a Christian. And I never agreed with that. That was one of the things that I had a big problem with. You know, they didn't want me to date the girl I was dating, who actually later became my wife and subsequently my ex-wife. They didn't want me to go out with her because she wasn't a Christian. Well, that's a hell of a thing to do when you've been in a relationship with somebody for a couple of years, you know. They didn't want me to hang out with my best friend because he wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't going to become a Christian, and he isn't a Christian to this day. What I find very interesting, though, and I'm going off on a tangent here, I know, but that after I left the church and after I began to perceive it a little bit too strongly to believe in it anymore, those friends that I had in the church abandoned me. Well, the godless heathen, my best friend Paul, stuck by me. And he's still my friend today. He's still my best friend today. What does that tell you about these systems of belief? What does this tell you about the control that religious bodies put over the people who are part of them? The church has set this up as a reinforcement of their teaching. They don't want people exposed to other viewpoints, and they don't want people exposed to other religions. But you know what? This is the 21st century. You can't live in a bubble away from other people. In the 1940s and 1950s, you know, mainstream America was white Caucasian straight Christian, and this is a mythical land, the mythical land of 1948, as I like to call it, where a lot of the political conservatives and social conservatives think that we should try to get back to. I have to say, Joe, I have a lot of respect for you. Because on your last show, you were talking about, well, a lot of people would say that listening to my show would be dangerous. Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. But you're listening anyway. And that tells me something very important. It tells me that you're open to learning new things. Now, keep in mind that I'm not out to unconvert people. I don't care if people are Christians or not. I find that caring about what other people believe grows more strongly the more strongly you hold a particular belief. The more devout of a Christian you are, the more you care about other people not believing what you believe. I don't see that on the atheist side or the rationalist side. Most of the atheists I know they really don't care. I mean, I have a lot of Christian friends. I have a lot of Christian relatives. Now, granted, they're not the same Christians that I knew back when I was a teenager and in my 20s. But they are people who I know and who I care about, who are religious and who are religionists, or people who believe in magic, or people who are pagans, or people, you know, there's all sorts of different disparate belief systems all around me all the time. But I think what I find is that atheists really don't place a lot of importance on that. And I think most atheists will be more than happy to share their view if asked for it. But I don't see atheists going out and, you know, proselytizing. And I don't see atheists going out and trying to remove rights from people, trying to tell Christians they can't get married. You know, and I'm not, you know, pointing my finger necessarily at Christians for being anti-gay marriage. I'm going to do a show that I've got coming up that some people might find very interesting, because Pete asked me a question a while ago, and it was kind of notable because it was a very un-Pete thing to ask. Pete asked me, when did religious people go insane? And I don't remember the context of the conversation. But Pete is not, I don't believe he's an atheist. I don't think he is. We've never really talked about that. And I don't really, because it's not that important to me if he's an atheist or believes in a god or whatever. I don't really care. I've actually kind of traced it back to 1973. And I'm going to do an entire show on 1973, and I am actually putting together information now. It may not be for a month or more. Remember how long it was before the tarot episode came on the air. But I actually, Joe, if you know, any time that we can actually kind of pull it together for me to be on your show, I'd be more than happy to talk about being an ex-Christian or anything else that you want to discuss. Just kind of let me know. Folks, I hope that you'll go and listen to Joe's show and become familiar with what he's doing. It's AmericanTalkUSA.com. He does about an hour a week. Usually I think he posts it on Wednesday. And he's got a lovely co-host, Holly, and the various other characters that kind of come and go of his show. Because I'm a relatively new viewer, I think there's actually people I haven't encountered yet. But, you know, Irving, who also is a listener to my show and participates in Ross's show also, and calls Tommy Boyd and all these other people. He's like the guy who calls everybody's show. Anyway, he also participates in Joe's show. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I guess it's just about out of time. So thanks for listening. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next time. I have a couple different things in the works, but it will be hopefully something interesting. Please remember that you can write to me at tom@tomharrisusa.com, or if you want to use the Gmail address, if that's easier for you, it's harrispodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. I like all kinds of comments. If you agree with me, if you disagree with me, whatever, give me some material to use on the show. Great. You know, I'm happy to hear from all of you. So anyway, gonna go ahead and sign off now. So hope to see you next week. This is Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA signing off.